ready to go. Ready to go. Good morning. It is Tuesday, September the 3rd of 2024. It is a beautiful start in downtown Wausau at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street at our WXCO studios. The time is 9:07. Plenty of sunshine. Temperatures moved up 6 degrees in the past hour, now 60 degrees, heading towards a high in the mid-70s. And just a great way to start things off, start off the abbreviated work week. And glad you could spend some time with us here on the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO, 98.9 FM. And also you can catch us on the AM dial at 1230. You can tune in online. Go to bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up in just a little bit at 9:20, we'll be talking to State Assembly candidate Bill Switala, the 87th Assembly seat. Bill Switala ran unopposed in the Democratic primary. There was a Republican contested primary as Mosinee Mayor Brent Jacobson defeated Wausau School Board member Corey Sillars to earn the Republican nomination. So it is Brent Jacobson taking on Bill Switala in November for the 87th Assembly seat. Bill Switala will be holding a fundraiser and a gathering here in the Wausau area coming up early next week. We'll talk about that, how you can come by and see Bill Switala, talk to him, and be part of that event. Also talk again about the issues that he is running on, what has he been hearing from the voters as the campaign continues and the countdown continues. We are just over 2 months away from Election Day, early November, and it's going to get here before you know it. And of course, lots of big elections will be on that ballot, not just the Assembly. You'll have a race for the United States Senate, Tammy Baldwin against Eric Hovde. Of course, the President of the United States will be on that ballot, Kamala Harris, Donald Trump, and others. We have the local races as well, wherever you may be living. So again, it's going to be one very, very busy couple of months and a lot of activity, a lot of commercials, of course, and a whole bunch more. And it's always great to be able to talk to some of our candidates in this area. And Bill Switala will be with us coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Also coming up at the end of the program, we will be having our daily history lesson and find out some of the famous events that occurred on this date in history. We will have some celebrity birthdays. We will have some special events that we do acknowledge today. And then we will have the number for the day. And when we do the number for the day, we put it out there as a quiz for Ian Welsh. We give Ian three different choices. Based on the math, that means that he should get one out of three correct, and he's been able to do that, be above 33% for a number of weeks in a row. And we will do it again today. We'll try to get him off this night, as yesterday started off the week by not getting it correct. So 0 for 1.
Yes.
Yep, 0 for 1 so far this week. So a little bit of work to be done the rest of the week. And And before we go any further, you just heard the voice. Let us properly introduce our in-studio engineer and our producer, Ian Welsh. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Chad.
Yeah, 0 for 1.
I still have a chance to get a 4 out of 5 this week.
You do. That is, of course, the best you've ever done. You've gone 4 out of 5 one week.
That was a really good week.
It was a very good week. I've not quite been able to get to the 5 out of 5. That's not easy. That is a very high mountain to climb, but we're going to keep
working
on it.
I really got to be like a super genius to get 5 out of 5. But I'll keep working on it.
Absolutely. Well, do you want to have an idea what your topic is going to be for the number for the day?
Yes. What is the topic for today's number, please?
All right. Firefighters.
Firefighters. Yeah. A very important job and a very a dangerous job as well.
We actually saw yesterday at the Wausau Labor Day Parade, the Wausau Fire Department brought a couple of their fire trucks and were on hand going down the parade route. So they were part of the big parade. And again, yesterday I was the announcer for the parade. I've been doing that for over a decade. And to be able to be part of that was it's always so much fun. And of course, thanks to the North Central group, the organization that is able to bring us the parade. It used to be the Marathon County Central Labor Council, and they changed the name, and I have such a hard time remembering the new name. It was, what was that? Doggone it. My mind is freezing up here. North Central Wisconsin Central Labor Council. I will remember that. The North Central Wisconsin Central Labor Council running the Wausau Labor Day Parade. They've been so nice to invite me to be part of it for a number of years. President Randy Ratke, Vice President, always we've used us on the show, Nancy Stencil, but Nancy, the VP, Randy, the President, and everybody involved with the North Central Wisconsin Central Labor Council. Thanks for having me be on hand for the announcer for the parade. And there were just so many terrific groups that were involved in it. If you go to my social media, see some of the pictures that I was able to take from the reviewing stand and marching bands from Wausau East and Newman Catholic. You had some youth groups. You had political parties. You had political candidates, and had really a terrific day and a terrific afternoon. And I think it was probably the largest parade crowd that I've seen in a number of years.
Fantastic.
The weather really did cooperate. Last year, it was so hot. It was like it really did hold it down. It was hot and humid last year. It was miserable. Last year was so hot. This year, the temperatures were perfect, nothing but sunshine, and really everybody had a wonderful time. So, again, I'm very happy to be part of it. It was great to be able to see a number of you folks out there as well, and look forward to it again next year. But it is sort of the gateway to the fall, and be
yes,
able to end summer. And as we get into this week, have to wish all the students that are heading back to school this week, the public schools here in our area, starting their school year. And again, I remember when I was in school, it felt like the year would be such a long one. But also, by the time you get to this point of the year after the summer, you're almost ready to get back. I mean, the summer break is great, but it's also wonderful to get back to school, be able to see, all,
to
your
see
friends.
All your friends.
Exactly.
Again.
And it's really, I think, a pretty cool time of year. So for all the kids that are heading back to school this week, best of luck, and hopefully it'll be a wonderful 2024-2025 school year. Also, again, we have to mention that you had the wonderful opportunity to head down to Milwaukee yesterday, go to American Family Field, go see the Milwaukee Brewers. And the Brewers right now, 10 games in front, 10-game lead. That's hard to believe. 10 games up with under a month ago. But you had a fun day, saw the Brewers beat the Cardinals 9-3, saw Jackson Churio.
Awesome.
Yeah, Jackson Churio hit a grand slam home run. Willie Adames hit a three-run home run, and you had a lot of great food. And
beautiful weather for it too.
Yeah, the roof was open, you had the sunshine, you had the nice breeze that freshened things up. It sounded like almost a perfect afternoon at the old ballpark.
It honestly was. I mean, just a really great turnout, a delicious food, and it was so cool to watch the Brewers live, because now I actually have a little bit better understanding of how baseball works. Which I didn't really, I'm not much of a baseball person.
Right.
I watch a baseball occasionally from time to time, but actually being there alive and seeing how they do everything, it actually makes a lot more sense once you can actually see what's happening and pay attention. So I upped my sports knowledge yesterday when it comes to baseball.
Very good.
When it comes to playing baseball, I'm not sure I could do it.
Very good. So it was great that you were able to see the crew. This week, the Packers start off their season. In fact, again, and I'm going to say it again. I get annoyed. Last Friday night, it was the Badgers starting off their season. They defeated Western Michigan, and they were actually trailing in the fourth quarter before coming back to win by a couple of scores. But Friday, the Badgers started, and now this Friday, the Packers start, and Friday night is for high school football. I'm sorry. It's, you know, I get really annoyed when I see the NFL and college football.
You have every right to be annoyed.
Yeah, they start moving in on the territory that's
this
normally.
This takes place in Brazil, so it shouldn't even count anyway.
And it does, because they want to, you know, spread the gospel of the NFL to every point around the globe. And the Packers, a very long trip down to Rio and take on the Philadelphia Eagles. It will not be an easy game. These are a couple of perennial powers in the NFC, so the Packers and the Eagles will kick things off from Rio on Friday night. We will have a couple of high school football games on Friday night as well. I'll be heading to Eau Claire, Carson Park, as the Wausau West Warriors take on the Eau Claire North Huskies Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 and the opening kickoff at 7. The Warriors are 1-1 in the non-conference part of their schedule. This is the conference opener. On Friday, this past Friday, the Warriors fell to Always Tough Hudson 35-22. So the Warriors look to get back on the winning track. Also coming up on Friday night, it'll be the Marathon Red Raiders. They will be taking on Loyal Greenwood. And Tom Weaver will have the play-by-play of that one, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the opening kickoff at 7 o'clock. That one will be heard live on the Sports 2 stream of BullFallsRadio.com and on the Civic Media app and on tape delay on 98.9 after the Wausau West game. Again, if you want to be able to catch all the live action of our high school football games and for the games on the Sports 2 stream, again, you can just go to the website, BullFallsRadio.com. Right below the schedule, there will be a Play Sports 2 and Play Sports 3 button. Just hit Play Sports 2. Be able to hear the action with Tom on Friday night from Loyal. And also, get the app. Again, that's real simple. Then you'll be able to go back and forth still very easily between our primary game and our Sports 2 game. Again, go to your app store. Be able to search out Civic Media. Download the free app. And then you have every Civic Media radio station right there. All 20 of the stations, including Bull Falls Radio, which is the fifth one down. So, again, Friday night doubleheader. And then Saturday, we have the Newman Catholic football team in action. Cardinals 1-0 after their 34-12 win over Phillips on Saturday. They will host Almond Bancroft. And again, Saturday afternoon, 12:35 for the pregame, 1 o'clock for the opening kickoff, live on 98.9 WXCO, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And
again, weekend for high school sports.
It is. And don't forget, if you missed any of the three games we had this past weekend, they're all available as a podcast by going to BullFallsRadio.com/sports. And our upcoming play-by-play schedule is there as well. The time is 9:19. And coming up next. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 WXCO. Online at BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And again, you can join us on Facebook as well. Go to Facebook.com, go to the Bull Falls Radio page, be able to go to our video stream, be able to ask questions, make comments as well. And also, if you'd like to join us, you can give us a call or a text at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. And of course, you can use your Civic Media app as well. Just have to go to the Bull Falls Radio page, open up the app, and then a button to click either a call or a text as well. And right now, very happy to welcome back into studio Democratic nominee for the 87th Assembly District, going up against Mosinee Mayor Brent Jacobson in November. Very happy to welcome back to the program Bill Swatala. Bill, good to see you again.
Oh, thanks for having me again.
Yeah, I saw you yesterday at the Wausau Labor Day Parade. That's one of the traditions for candidates. Have to go to those parades.
Have
you been to a few parades this summer?
I have been to a couple of them. Not as many as in the past years, but I try to get to as many as I can.
Well, let's talk first. The reason that I think you wanted to come on, because obviously as you run for office, one of the probably the less fun aspects is having to raise a little bit of money to get that message out, to be able to travel around the district and be able to talk about it. But also, it's an opportunity for folks to come by and see you as well and to be able to talk to you. You have an event coming up to raise a little bit of money for the campaign, but also to meet some of the folks here in the Wausau area. Could you give us the details on what's happening in the next week or so?
Yeah, so on Tuesday, the 10th of September, I'm having a fundraiser at Scani's Bar and Grill over there in Schofield. Mm-hmm. Colleen, Dorothy, Nancy, and Ruth are hosting it for me. It's something that I've never really done anything like this, so I'm trying to make it kind of a fun event. Like you said, because the districts are new, I have to meet a lot of new people in the area. So it's a little bit, you know, it's kind of tough to do that when you still work a full-time job. Right. And, you know, they you know, you try to get out to do the doors, and that's kind of hard too. So I kind of put a fundraiser meet and greet, and with some exciting entertainment. I got Mike Maccabee coming down. He's like a single man singer and kind of a comic guy I kind of grew up with, and he's kind of funny. So I hope to put a little fun spin on it as well.
Very good. And Scotty's always a great place to have some great food as well. I've been over there myself. I live in that part of the town, so it's very cool. So that's next Tuesday. Do people have to know anything in terms of, is there any RSVP, or is it just show up? How's that working?
It's just show up. It starts at 5. You know, we really haven't laid out the plan, but I'm kind of figuring we'll start out with the entertainment and hopefully do some speeches and then it'll go into hopefully the debate if it's still going on at that time.
Very, very good. So, again, that's next Tuesday. Stop by Scani's and for Bill Swatala's fundraiser and meet and greet and everything else that goes on with that. You mentioned the fact that you're doing all this while still working full-time. And it goes back to, I think, maybe the original idea of citizen legislators.
Right.
That this is not a case where you've decided this is your profession, that you're going to be a full-time politician and be somebody that is in public service as a full-time job. How do you try to balance that out? Because I imagine that is one of the most difficult aspects of running for office, especially when you take that next step to a position that is part of the state assembly, that you have to kind of go outside your base of operation in Wittenberg. How do you balance out working and then still trying to be able to run a campaign that you think you can win?
Well, it definitely is a struggle. I have to go into my own head. I have to listen to a lot of advice, and oh my Lord, everybody's got advice for you.
Yes, they do.
Right? And that's my biggest struggle, is I want to be everywhere. You know, I really do. I want to win. I want to do this. But it, like you said, it's a struggle. So I have to go with the flow and do what I can do and try not and stress it too much. My son asked me the other day how I handle that, mm-hmm. and I don't quite have an answer for him. You just do it day to day. This is my fourth time running, so you know I can't tell you how bad I would love to do this. Like you said, mm-hmm. It's not my job. I have a job,
right?
But this would be something that I would be able to help people.
And you said it. You've had experience running for office. What have you learned over the years? What maybe has made you a better candidate now than maybe the first time that you kind of threw your hat into the ring? Because I've noticed that in terms of different candidates I've come across, you may think you know what to do, but boy, things pop up all the time, don't they?
They sure do. It's, you know, it's just so amazing. The first time I ran again, I was full-time employed, but I had my family, my parents were still alive, and they kind of helped me with my businesses. So I was able to do it a little bit more, but still not as much as I wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. And my district was towards Appleton, and I watched all these. I felt terrible. I watched all these people get out, man, and they ran those doors, and they worked so hard to get it done. And at the end of the day, the numbers just come out the same. So it's you know, it's just something you gotta accept. If you know, if I win, oh my gosh, I can't imagine the thrill I'd have. But also I gotta remember that there's always that other option.
And you say it, I mean, the will to serve. Yeah. I mean, the campaign aspect is probably the most difficult, because it's to get to do the job, to do the things that you think that would help make the people in the district's lives better. Why do you put yourself through it? Why do you do this? Why have you decided that this is, and as you said, when you lose, even if it's a district that, you know, well, you're expected to lose, because I mean, the way the lines were drawn for so many years, they were all kind of set up that way, but it doesn't take away any of the sting, does it?
Not at all. But you know, like you go along the trail and you listen to the people, and you know, just like birth control. You know, everybody fights over birth control. But I was talking to a young lady that had an employee friend, and she had a miscarriage, and the fetus didn't come out. So she had to leave the state, leave Wisconsin, in order to save her life. I you know, that just breaks my heart to think that, you know, she, the thought of losing that child as it is, and then not being able to just take care of it the way it should be taken care of right here at home. You have to go somewhere else to do that. You know, these things break my heart. Or another friend of mine, you know, his mom, always, she was a hard worker all her life. She worked hard, you know, but she did like waitressing jobs, cooking jobs, you know, and she ran out of money to pay for her meds. So she died because she could not cover all of her meds.
We're going to delve more into these issues that animate your campaign, and also in terms of what you've been hearing as well, which is always a big factor within a race. So we're going to come back. Bill Switala, candidate for the 87th Assembly District, Democratic nominee. We'll come back after an information update, news, weather, and sports, and then back with more with Bill Switala here on 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 WXCO, online at BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, we are talking to Bill Switala, who is the 87th Assembly District Democratic candidate. Again, in the general election, he will be facing off with the Republican nominee, Brent Jacobson. You touched right before the information update, again, I think about one of the issues that is one of those dividing lines, I think, right now between the parties in the state of Wisconsin when it comes to women's reproductive rights. And I get a little bit frustrated right now because it does feel like a lot of Republicans are trying to shade it or not trying to talk maybe as loudly about it than they do a year from an election. I mean, I think that there's a lot of right now not being straight with the voters. How do you go about, in an issue like that, where you are very strong, you talked about that issue, but maybe your opponent outside of a primary where he had to fight against a rather conservative opponent in the primary, to be able to make sure that the voters know about the differences between you and your opponent? Because I do think that whether, you know, I'm not sure about Mr. Jacobson, but I do hear, you know, often, even though with Trump, I mean, he changes his viewpoint when it comes to reproductive rights, of depending on what way the wind is blowing. Making sure that the differentiations are there, I imagine, is one of the big challenges for you right now in terms of getting the message out.
Right. It is a slippery slope. You know, of course, abortion is one of the main things. And, you know, as a Democrat, they always tell me I'm a baby killer. Well, you know, absolutely, I'm not.
Right.
In any way for abortion, but there are circumstances that lead you into that direction. I just don't think it can be. I don't think it should be a government's right to say. I mean, women should have their right to say what happens with their bodies, most certainly, and definitely in health issues, rape issues. Oh, my God. You know, my daughters, you know, I have 7 children, and my daughters, I would do whatever I had to do to make sure that they're protected. So, I mean, I have, you know, I kind of know. I mean, I've read his paperwork, so I know where he stands as far as abortion and even birth control. How can we even prevent that? If you get more birth control out there, then this issue almost goes away. I don't even understand the logic in what they have to say. It just frustrates me.
Along the same line, when we first had a discussion last time you were here on the program, one of the threads that I kind of took away from the talk is about freedom in terms of not just that issue, but you talked about being a business owner and making sure that, frankly, that you were able to do your job as a business owner in a way where you got the help you needed from maybe a Roger Bresky or such, but to basically trust people. Would that be fair to say that the freedom topic, which so often is associated with the Republicans, that's something that as a state representative that you would give a lot of, I think, power to the people. Would that be fair to say?
Definitely. Of course. I've been self-employed all my life. And, you know, as a small business, you don't have a lot of power. You know, I don't have a lot of power. So I always counted on my representatives to help me and to support me and even the government. You know, right now I'm so thrilled to be listening to what Harris has to say because she's really going after the right path for small businesses and for, you know, middle-class people. I really believe that she's got the right issues that I've been speaking about a long time. I'm not into government control, but of course, you know, the wealthier you get, the more control you think you have.
Mm-hmm.
So to have someone keep an eye on that for us so that we can run our business without worrying about being put out of business by Walmarts and stuff. You know, I live in a small town, and when I started, there were so many family-owned businesses. And again, this last week, we just lost another one. Wagner Shell was bought out by a mega corporation. And oh my gosh, all the people that are coming to me going, well, the gas stations are horrible now. What are we going to do? We can't do this. We can't do that. I'm like, you know, I'm sorry. I can't. I mean, especially where I am.
Right.
I can't help you. But we need someone that can.
What can we do? I mean, when you talk about that issue, when you talk about what you're hearing from the Democratic nominee at the top of the ticket, but if you were able to go to Madison, what kind of ideas do you have in order? Because again, in a lot of ways, that's bigger than even state government.
Because, oh, it is.
Because you know, you're talking about multinational corporations that tend to come in here, and you, like you said, the whole idea of mom and pop businesses, and it's so you talked about, you know, in terms of selling flowers.
Yeah.
I remember you telling that story that you know, you can only sell flowers at a certain price without losing money on everyone, but yet if one of these huge conglomerates moves in, they can basically decide, well, we're going to take a loss in order to run our competition out of business because we have the resources with our multinational corporation to do that. What can be done? I guess that's a big question out there, and I know it is a big question, but do you have any ideas on maybe steps that can be taken to try to protect some of the small businesses that frankly just don't have again the deep pockets that some of these competitors have?
Well, just going back to the, you know, I can't say the beginning, but going back to regulating some of these companies to minimum markup laws that I even believe are still there, but nobody pays attention to them. You know, and things like that, making sure the grants go to the people that need it. you know, not the big corporations, but the smaller people even, you know, and I just know this from experience in the village, you know, our government put out that infrastructure for roads and stuff, but they made it so complicated that even the small towns can't use them because it just costs way too much money. So, you know, even though there's money out there, like you said, they have to make it, they have to make it so that the smaller people can use it, the less, you know, like my community.
Yeah, I think that's something that is not understood, that so often when money is allocated for projects, then of course there's bidding that goes involved with it, and then who ultimately gets it is those that have the deeper pockets, and then a lot of the benefits don't go towards some of the smaller operations that really could use that kind of juice. And I think that's one of the reasons why an infrastructure bill and other bills that are passed, it's thought the idea is for that money to get to those areas of localities, but unfortunately, again, within the bidding process, it makes it very, very difficult. Another aspect that I talked about in the first hour of this show, and I want to ask you about this, because I know that when you look at Wittenberg, you look at other areas of the district, you have people who, when you look at the policies of the two parties, would be, I think, helped a lot more by certain policies that are promoted by Democrats and by those maybe on the left-hand side of the political spectrum as opposed to the right. We were talking about an article that I saw, when you talk to folks that support, say, Donald Trump or support Republicans, when you go around and talk to folks that agree with you on probably a lot of the basics when it comes to governing, but yeah, we'll say, well, I'm a Republican, I'm going to vote straight Republican ticket. How do you go about talking to them? How do you go about trying to maybe, at the very least, open up their mind to the ideas that you're talking about?
Again, we can all go to the same thing. I just tell them to listen, to do research, to listen to other than just, she's crazy. You know, that's not an answer. You can't just say she's crazy. What are her policies? Why are you personally not agreeing with what they are doing? One gentleman I talked to, a Republican, said, well, I'm voting for Trump because, you know, ever since Trump, my paycheck has been very good. But then I turn and look at another gentleman that says, well, ever since Biden got in, my paycheck's been really terrible. So, you know, again, we just have to look at policies. We can't just go look at our paycheck. I mean, I know inflation is crazy, but, you know, even for me, I don't make a lot of money, but I'm still able to live. I don't understand what they think is so terrible right now, but you have to do your research. You can't just listen to your neighbor. You know, you have to do research. Listen to them. Watch the debate. So many people I talk to say, well, I'm not going to watch the debate. Well, then if you don't watch the debate, how are you going to know what the issues are? How are you going to know what they're saying? You know, you have to watch that stuff. You have to listen. You can't just agree with your neighbor, because your neighbor ain't always doing their research. You have to do your own research.
Are you going to have an opportunity to have a discussion with your opponent? Is it something you would like to have?
In a fair scheme of things, yes. I wouldn't have no problem talking to him. Now, the last time I ran, the Republicans did a debate between me and a write-in they wanted, and it turned out to be a very Republican thing. You know, again, I don't want to be called crazy. You know, I have issues, and I have beliefs, and I don't want them to be crazy. They're what I believe. I don't think necessarily that they're crazy. I believe that they believe what they believe, and I'm not going to say I agree with it, but I don't look at them and call them crazy.
Disagree without being disagreeable, right?
Right.
And also having a fair shake. And I think that when you look at whether it's the people of a district and whether it's a candidate of the district, having a fair shake. And sometimes I think that one of the frustrations for the folks within, you know, when you look at Wittenberg and look at the border area between Marathon and Shawano counties, I imagine that the people that you serve right now, that's all they're looking for is a fair shake, right?
Absolutely. Everybody just wants a fair shake. And Democrats or Republicans, they all want a fair thing. And in Wisconsin, I believe it's gotten that way because we have Republicans and Democrats, because we can work to a happy medium. There's a lot of programs out there that when I was a child were taken advantage of, and we've managed to rake them in a little bit and make it fair across the board. But there's always going to be people that need help or people that can't quite do it right. And, you know, working together is the only way to do it. Like Social Security, I talked to he's called himself a conservative. He wasn't a Republican. But, you know, he was complaining about Social Security, 81-year-old man complaining about Social Security. Come on, what have you, maybe you had a bigger bank account so you didn't have to rely on this Social Security. But, you know, like my father alone, he got $1,200 a month. You know, where does that get you? And if he didn't have that, he would have had to work, and he did work till the day he died, but he'd have to work hard till the day he died.
And frankly, we know what it's like prior to Social Security. As much as they try to erase history, all you have to do is go back to the late 19th century, early 20th century, and see how terrible it was for older folks. Again, when they did not have what you'd call an old age pension, which is Social Security.
Right.
Again, people need to look at history because, again, if you don't know history, you're bound to repeat it. And I think that, again, when folks complain about Social Security, they don't know the history. And I think that's something that folks have to talk about. We got about a minute to go. Let's go back to the beginning again. We want to make sure that people, again, know about the event that you do have coming up next week, next Tuesday, right, over at Scotty's. What are the details again?
Yep. So it starts at 5 on the 10th. It's a Tuesday. And I picked a Tuesday because I figured Monday people are just tired. In the end of the week, everybody has something to do. So I picked Tuesday. And I'm trying to make it a fun event, an event that people want to come to and not be belittled or whatever.
What time does it start again?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. Scotty's in Schofield. Bill Spitala. Be fun. But also get a chance to talk to Bill, learn a little bit more. So again, next Tuesday at 5 o'clock, it's Scotty's. Bill, again, good to have you on board here. Look forward to having you back sometime before the election.
Well, thank you again, and I'll come back anytime you want.
Fantastic. Coming up next, it's our daily history lesson, because you need to know history so you don't repeat it.
That's right.
Straight ahead, right here on 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, it is September the 3rd. Tuesday, September 3rd of 2024. That means it is day number 247.
There are 115 days left?
Nope, there's 119 days left, so a few more days. So that's actually good. So day 247 and 119 days remaining in 2024. And a number of famous events have occurred on this date in history. Boy, this is actually a bit of a sad day, a tragic day in world history. It was on this date, September the 3rd of 1939, that World War II began, when France, the United Kingdom, New Zealand, and Australia declared war on Germany after the Germans' invasion of Poland. So, again, World War II, and it would not end for 6 long years.
Very tragic.
Another tragedy. Again, it's such a sad story. And I remember back when I was in school the first time I read the Diary of Anne Frank, and we talked about it. It was on this date in 1944, September 3rd, 1944, that Anne Frank and her family were placed on the last transport train from Westerbork to Auschwitz, arriving 3 days later, and there she would lose her life. And that was, again, a tragic story in world history. On this date, in 1989, Karen and Stan Sutton sailed back into San Francisco Harbor 8.5 years after leaving on their trip around the world. They made it in a 43-foot ship they built themselves. Along the way, the couple had 2 children. On this date in 1995, eBay was founded. On this date in 2019, Walmart said it would stop selling handguns and some ammunition. And on this date in 2020, Robert Pattinson tested positive for COVID-19, shutting down production of The Batman.
On this date
as well, a number of celebrities are celebrating their birthdays. Actor Costas Mandalore, he was one of the stars of Picket Fences, a show that was actually set in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the Picket Fences back in the 1990s. Costas Mandalore is 59 years old today. Actor Charlie Sheen, 2 and a Half Men, also many other movies and TV shows. Charlie Sheen turning 59 years old today. Actor Ashley Jones of True Blood is 48. Joel Johnstone, Archie Cleary in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is 48. Former Olympic softball star Jenny Finch is 44 years old today. Snowboarder Sean White. Sean Wright is at the Grand Theater. Sean White is the snowboarder. Sean White is 38 years old today. Model Kaya Gerber, the daughter of Cindy Crawford, is 23 years old today. And Jack Dylan Grazer of Shazam and We Are Who We Are is 21 years old today. Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Baby Back Rib Day. It is Skyscraper Day. It is Telephone Tuesday. And it is Bowling League Day. So nice. So those are the special events being acknowledged today. All right. It is time.
Time to get back on the bandwagon.
Always yes. Wrapping up our show with our number for the day and the number for the day quiz. Again, we give Ian Welsh 3 choices, and then he makes his choice. Hopefully, you know, based on the math, should get 1 out of 3 correct.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done very well over the last couple of months. He's not had a losing week, I think, for at least 2 months. I mean, it's been really a big roll. But we've actually lifted the bar a little bit as well. We want you to have winning weeks, 3 out of 5 at least.
Yes.
But 2 out of 5 is not a failure. 1 out of 5 would be a failure, 20%.
More wins than losses, absolutely.
There you go.
And today's about a firefighter.
It is.
Firefighters.
And again, we saw the firefighters from Wausau at the Wausau Labor Day Parade yesterday. Had the fire trucks part of the parade route. And it was fun to see the firefighters yesterday.
Mm.
But our number for the day.
Okay.
The percentage of firefighters that are volunteer. So firefighters, we hear a lot about volunteer fire departments.
Yeah.
The percentage of firefighters that are volunteer.
Okay.
Is the correct answer 70%? Is the correct answer 80%? Is the correct answer 90%?
Percent of firefighters who are volunteers.
Yep.
70,
most of them are.
80 or 90%. Okay.
You can see the wheels turning in his mind.
I remember what Paul Makeley told me last week about calling me out on not taking my mom's advice, so I'm making sure I take that into consideration. But I'm going to say I'm debating here.
Come on, you got to give me an answer.
Okay, well, my gut here, I'm going to say 80% of firefighters are volunteers. I'm going with B. It's my final answer.
Going with the middle.
I'm going with B. Final.
All right. The percentage of firefighters that are volunteer is 70%.
Oh, it's the smallest number.
Yes, it is. I thought maybe you think those are huge numbers and you'll go with the small one, but no.
Nope. I was thinking it was going to be like a middle number or the biggest number.
Oh, so yeah. So even if you had not said 80, you would have said 90.
Yeah.
Well, you got some work to do the rest of the week.
Yes, I got some catching up to do.
You got to get on your horse tomorrow and make sure you get it right, or else absolutely, you're going to have your back firmly against the wall. Oh, we yes, haven't had this kind of pressure recently.
Oh yeah, I need to get I need to refocus.
Hey, have a good rest of your Tuesday.
You too, Chad. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Enjoy the beautiful day.
Thanks to Bill Switala for joining us and Brittany Merlot. Tomorrow morning we'll be joined by Tony Gonzalez and have an interesting discussion with Tony about politics and issues and talk about what he's been up to as well. So we'll have Tony Gonzalez coming up with us tomorrow morning. Hopefully you'll be with us as well. Coming up, it is Matt and Air on Air from 10 until noon. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCOR.